Morning, I want to charge our hearts from Luke chapter 4, and I have titled this, The Coming of Jesus, The Coming of Jesus, Luke chapter 4, verse 14 to 21, Luke 4, 14 to 21, the Bible says, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue and on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Oh, Jesus was speaking into a year. Amen. Jesus' ministry can affect calendar. And so this morning, I have also come to declare the acceptable year of the Lord. That the remaining days of 2024 is still acceptable before the Lord. And the days of 2025, I have come to proclaim acceptability. You will not be rejected in the year 2025. Verse 20. And he closed the book and gave it to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue was fastened on him. Then 21. And he began to say to them, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. I'm praying for somebody that this scripture will be fulfilled in your ears. This 29th of December 2024, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. In the name of Jesus, the coming of Jesus. Jesus was a king who came at the time of kings, because when Jesus came, he came at the time of kings, so that he can bring back God's people to the kingdom and make them kings. Jesus was born as a king. We sang all of that last week. He was born as a king, so that he was also born in the time of kings, so that we understand how kingship kingdom works. And his main purpose was not just to be one king, but raise many kings. So among many other things, Jesus came so that kings can emerge. The coming of Jesus. You see, it was the first coming of Jesus that led to what we celebrated last week, the Christmas. The first coming of Jesus. And I hope that you know that there are still some people that don't know that Jesus has come the first time. But that's not the only time that Jesus can come. The first time was a first entrance into the earth as a man. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then verse 14 says, the Word became flesh. Jesus, the Word that was with God the Father, became flesh and moved into the neighborhood, or moved to the earth. So that was the first coming. And ladies and gentlemen, every man that is born to this world needs to do something with the first coming. If you have done something with the first coming of Jesus, you need to give people opportunity to do something with that first coming. I'll talk a little bit about that in 2025. That we must take it as a priority, that we must let people know about the first coming. Because He is not just that he has come the first time, he's coming back again. Can somebody say amen? Jesus is coming back again physically. He's coming back again. In Acts chapter 1 verse 11, Acts chapter 1 verse 11, the angels told the disciples that were looking at Jesus go up into heaven after his first coming. The Bible said, and they said, "Are ye men of Galilee, why stand ye up gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, not another Jesus, the same Jesus that came the first time, this same Jesus, which is taken from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner." What does that mean? He will come physically. He will come bodily. You'll be able to touch him like Thomas did. He's coming back again. So I want you to understand, and I know that as life has emerged, it feels like that second coming of Jesus and preaching about it is winning a little bit. But hear me and make no mistake, Jesus is coming back again. Pastor, they've been saying Jesus is coming back again many years ago. Well, now he's coming back very closer to when we were saying it many years ago. He's coming, is more imminent than it was several years ago. Oh, some people say, well, even Jesus said that he was going to come quickly. Why has he not come so quickly? Is quickly is not the way you count calendar. Is quickly is still quickly. Is coming very soon, and you and I need to get ready for his coming. But this morning, that's not my emphasis. My emphasis is not the fact that he came the first time, not the fact that he's coming back again, which should be our emphasis, because the Bible says, if we are, our hope is only in this world, we are of all men to be pitied. We are miserable if everything is about. I enter into a new year, and in the new year, we are chasing the American dream. We are trying to become this and other. And there's nothing wrong with all of that. But it is too little for all of our life to be. We have to be looking for the blessed hope. Looking that Jesus is going to come again. He's going to come and take us away from this vile system. It's going to change us, and our immortality, our mortality will be swallowed up by immortality. It's something to look forward to. And you and I, as children of God, that is our hope. That's the hope. And we have to keep it front and center of our life. But this morning, I want to talk about the fact that Jesus can still come now. Jesus can still visit you now. You know, in that scripture that we read, the Bible says Jesus returned into Galilee. Then after, the Bible now says he came into another place. So that means that Jesus comes. Yes, he may not come bodily, but he can come via some other means. Because the Bible lets me understand that there is somebody also trying to come. In John chapter 10 verse 10, the Bible says there's the thief that is trying to come. Why is 2024 the way it has been? Many of it is not because what you wrote as your New Year resolution, God could not do it. The thief came. Why is it that my life is like this? I've been crying. I've been coming to church. I'm a child of God. And it does not look like, I don't look like what the word of God said. It may be because the thief came. So the Bible says in John chapter 10, verse 10, it says the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, he's not the only thief that comes alone. I also come. And this morning, Jesus is coming. You don't understand. This morning, Jesus is coming. And he's coming for a particular person. He's visiting somebody, and he's touching somebody, particularly in the name of Jesus. I want to answer a question real quick before I go to the meat of what I will say, and then we will pray. Why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus come? I want to give a few reasons why he came. Number one, to reveal the Father. Jesus came to reveal the Father. Many people had known God, but they never knew the Father. Until Jesus came, nobody had revealed God as the Father. Everybody you saw in the Old Testament was relating into him as God. Nobody ever called him Father. They never related to him as Father. They didn't know that God had a fatherhood side to him. And that side is one of his biggest side. In fact, I dare to say that's his biggest side, because Jesus emphasized that among many other things. The biggest word you will hear, the most constant word you will hear in the mouth of Jesus when he was here physically on earth was Father. The endearment he addressed God was Father. In fact, when they asked him about prayer, he told them, the reason why your prayer will be very effective in the New Testament is not that you pray to God, it's that you pray to your Father. Because if you pray to God, you may end up being like prophets of Baal. They were praying to a God, a deity. Well, if you pray to your father, there are sometimes when you pray to your father, when you speak to your father, everything may not be right, but because of the relationship of fatherhood, the father will still respond. I have seen many times when the way my children request what they're looking for is wrong. And sometimes I say, can you say that better? But whether they say it better or not say it better, before they even say it better, I'm ready to give them. Why? Because I'm their father. And there is a nature of father. And one of the work of a father is for a father to give, for a father to be benevolent to their children. That is normal. I mean, it's not happening. If you're a father and you're not doing that, may God heal you in Jesus' name. We need to be more and more benevolent as father, but much more than we as human beings. God is a father. In John chapter 6 verse 46, Jesus called God his father. In John chapter 14 verse 11, we see there too, Jesus is saying that I am in my father and my father is in me. Jesus is also calling God his father. In John chapter 10 and verse 30, Jesus also says again, God is his father. And I have come to tell you that one of the things that Jesus did for you and me is that he made us to now also be able to call God father. Oh, that is massive. It's amazing. We have the spirit of adoption whereby we are not afraid. We are not fearful. We can call God daddy. That's why that song we normally sing, my daddy, that song is very, very powerful. Go and study world religions. There are few, or if none, I don't know any religion that address their deity as daddy. No, the deity is to be revered. You have to tiptoe around them. If you talk too much, the guy can just kill you. But we have a father. We have a daddy. I can say my daddy. There are no protocols. You know, sometimes there are no protocols. Yes, I know that there are some things we do in prayer. Enter his gate with thanksgiving and into his court with praise. All of those things are there. We do it when we are supposed to do it and when we can do it. But do you know that when you have a relationship, the relationship of a father, you can shout, help! You can shout help to your father. Oh, you can just type, help, I need help now. And without any pleasantries. I hope many of us are not like that. That before you talk to your father, you first say Calvary greetings. I bring you greetings in the name of the Lord. Compliments of the season. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas. All the greetings before you are able to say, Daddy, please, can you spare me $5 there? No. Most times, hi, Dad. Sometimes, if you very dear need, you just say, Dad, please, can I have $5 there? Or, you know. And before you say it for many times, it's already almost available. And God even way more than earthly father. He even sees the need before you ask for it. And is ready to give you. So Jesus came to reveal God as our father. What did Jesus come to do? Jesus came to reconcile us to God. Number two thing Jesus came to do was that he came to reconcile us to God. There was a breach of relationship. There was a breach of communication by the sin that came in Genesis chapter 3. And one of the things that Jesus came to do was to bring us back to God. John chapter 3 verse 16 says, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him may not perish but have everlasting life. That means that what Jesus came to do was to make sure that people that were supposed to perish, he will reconcile them back to God. Bible says God was not imputing man's sins to them. I believe this is 2 Corinthians 5:17-18. You know, if a man therefore is in Christ, is a new creature. And then he was saying that God did not want to impute our sins on us. He did not condemn us. So what he did was that he allowed Jesus to come in the flesh so that there can be reconciliation. So ladies and gentlemen, you can reconcile with your maker. You can reconcile with God. And many businesses, many accounts, before the end of January 31st, they will close their books. They will call it reconcile the account. God has reconciled the account of sin in Jesus. Why did Jesus come? He came to show us the Father. He also came to reconcile us back to the Father. We lost our relationship. We were that prodigal son that left everything, squandered everything. But Jesus is that prodigal father that embraces us and welcomes us all and reconciles us back into sonship. And so this morning, hear me and hear me very well. Why did Jesus come, or why is Jesus still coming? It is to reveal the Father. It is to reconcile us to God. Why is Jesus coming? Jesus came to show us how the original was meant to be. Jesus came to show us the original. He came to show us the original. That, you people were supposed to be kings. That's why when Jesus came, his message was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here. It's at hand. He brought the kingdom consciousness again. And he wanted us to be reconciled or bring us back to the original. In John chapter 1 verse 1, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus was in the beginning of man. Jesus knew the original. Jesus knows the blueprint. And that's why in Matthew chapter 19 verse 18, when they were asking him about the fact that there were some things that Moses permitted, there were some things that Moses allowed. Moses allowed people to divorce, you know. Moses even, in fact, they didn't even say allowed. The word they used there was Moses commanded people that they can divorce their wives. And Jesus said, no, Moses did not command, but Moses permitted because of the hardness of your heart. And Jesus now said something. He said, in the beginning it was not so. Meaning, I have come to show you what was the original. I have come to show you what was in the beginning. So every now and then, in fact, the reason Jesus will heal people was because he wanted to show them the original. In the beginning it was not so. You were not supposed to be carrying that sickness. The reason Jesus will multiply 5,000 bread, five loaves and two fish, it's not just so that he will look like a magician. No, he wanted to show you that in the beginning there was abundance. If you look at the life of Jesus and see what Jesus was doing, you will see that Jesus was passing the message that what was not in the beginning should not be now. So hear me, child of God, you can be like Jesus. And every time you see what is not looking like the original, insist on the original. Don't let the devil sell no fake thing to you. Don't let him sell a fake body to you. Don't let him let you walk in a fake body and you are walking with some managing sickness. I have to manage. You saw an 81 year old man stand here. It is possible, my brother. You are just 30 something and you are saying, I'm getting old. What old are you compared to an 81 year old man? The other day we were at a soccer place and they threw ball at daddy, and the way he trapped the ball, I knew that, my God, there's still a lot of energy in this baba. if you go and hold him with a pen knife and think that you just use, because he's old, you'll be surprised. You'll be flabbergasted because he will deal with you because there is still strength there. So we see that there are people even in the now and now showing us how he's supposed to be in the original. So I don't need to get weak because I'm getting older. I don't need to lose some body function because I added another year to my year. No. The Bible says they go from strength to strength. Every one of them that appeared before God in Zion. Every time you come to Zion, you can go from strength to strength. Yes, it is spiritual in nature, but it's also physical in nature. Why? Because when Jesus came, he showed us the original. He showed us the original. So hear me this morning. Why did Jesus come? Jesus came to reveal the Father. Jesus came to reconcile us to God. Jesus came for us to show us the original. But I think the biggest one, which we always say, Jesus came to save. Jesus came to save. Now, I have mentioned a dimension of that save in my earlier points, so I don't need to believe but that side. But the save here is that he came to deliver us from captivity. The word save that we use for Jesus in Matthew chapter 1 verse 23, that he came to save his people from their sin, is also the word he came to deliver. He came to deliver them. He came to deliver them from their sin and the consequences of sin. Whatever sin brought. Sin was what brought sickness. Sin was what brought death. Sin was what brought all kinds of evil. He came to set the captive free. I love the scripture, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. The Bible says, therefore, the Son of God was made manifest that he might destroy the work of the devil. that he might destroy the work of the devil. He that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. Or for this purpose, Jesus came, that he might destroy the works of the devil, that he might break the hold of every demonic operation. In John chapter 10, verse 10, that we have already mentioned, the Bible said there that Jesus is coming, and he has come to give life. Why? Because the devil has brought something else that is not life. And Jesus is combating death with life. I speak to everyone hearing me this morning. Everywhere there is death, everywhere the devil has stolen something from you, I decree and declare, let there be life in the name of Jesus. In the scripture we started with, Luke chapter 4, in verse 18, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. And the reason he anointed me is so that I can preach the gospel to the poor. That's a kind of deliverance to the poor. It's so that I'm sent to heal the brokenhearted. It's a deliverance to the unhealthy. He said, I have also been called to preach deliverance to the captives. Anyone in any form of prison, I have come to let them loose. This morning, I am saying to you, Jesus came to let you loose. So that when you get into 2025, you are going to be getting there free. There will be no bondage. There will be no shackles. There will be no hindrance. There will be no limitations. In the name of Jesus. Jesus came to set the captive free. And just before you quickly say, well, I don't think I'm a captive, I don't think I am under any hold of the devil, I was hearing something this week, and some people were trying to argue that Jesus comes into our life by invitation. So the devil can't just come anyhow. You know, that if you go to any environment and they are doing things there that is ungodly, if you don't permit it, it will not just come inside. But those people don't know the devil. The devil is not Jesus. Jesus will stand at the door of your heart. He will be knocking. He says, if anybody will open the door of their hand, I will come in. The devil will not stand and knock. The Bible calls him a thief. Any thief that is standing and knocking is not a proper thief. But real thieves, they break in. Real thieves, they come in when you are unaware. Real thieves, they come in as stealthy and as subtly. They will come in like normal. They will make everything look normal. In fact, many, many times what people are calling normal, the devil has already come in. I know one of the areas where especially the church started struggling was the fact that we know that usually when there is a manifestation of the devil, we call it demon possession. We call it demonic stuff and all that. And I understand. Scripture says it's abundantly clear. If you read Colossians chapter 1, if you start reading from verse 1, what Colossians chapter 1 was trying to emphasize was that this is translation. There is when you came into Christ, you were translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of his dear son. But let me tell you the truth. Even Jesus, the devil comes to him. Even Jesus. Even people that were walking with Jesus. Peter was walking with Jesus. There was a time the devil used the vocal cords of Peter to speak. And hear me, you can still be a child of God. And there can still be some devilish or demonic influences. There can still be some operations that is not of God. And that's why this morning, as we are looking at the end of 2024, I want you to be vigilant. I want you to be angry. When you see things that don't look like God, don't just excuse them away and just think that, well, ki sera sera, what's gonna be, it's gonna be. What's gonna be, it's not gonna be, bro. Sometimes somebody has to stand up and confront it, because the devil you don't confront, you may not conquer. Too many church people nowadays, well, you know, I don't like all those kind of prayer. It's a little bit like you are glorifying the devil. We are not glorifying the devil. He's under our feet, but we know he's a thief. We know he doesn't play by the rules. We know the devil does not play fair. There is, legally speaking, there are many of us that are out of the reach of the enemy. But vitally so, he still shows up. He still comes. Every now and then, you will have imagined that the devil will never go and meet someone like Jesus. If somebody was a devil or the devil, won't you have understood that? How can you go and meet the word to tempt the word? Is it not your word that I've hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you? So if we are hiding the word in our heart so that we will not sin, how will you now go and meet that word so that you will now use words to tempt that word? And it was the word to show you how stupid and crazy and unrelenting and wicked and diabolic and just evil as the devil is. The devil was not tempting Jesus with any other thing but the same word. He came and he was quoting the word to the word about the word so that the word will disobey the word. Can you imagine? And if it was not possible that Jesus would fall, the Bible won't call it temptations. The Bible will have just called it stupidity of the devil. But it was temptation because it was possible that even the word can be tempted by a word from the word so that the word would disobey the word. But thanks be to God. And this morning, I just want to share some things with you that should let you know that maybe there is an influence that is not of God. Maybe in some places there is an influence that is not from God, and you should rise up and speak up about these things and speak and let God completely give you liberty in the name of Jesus. There are some ways you can identify some activities of demonic influences or the devil. One of the ways you can see his activities is his activities come in enticements. When there is a lot of enticement happening in your life, some of it is not natural, some of it is sponsored. Oh yes, it is sponsored. Sometimes when you see enticement, it is sponsored. Also, there is also another activity you can see: harassment. You know, the Bible speaking in I believe Isaiah 54, he said there is no weapon that is fashioned against you that will prosper. That means that there are weapons that are tailor-made. They are fashioned, they are made specifically for you, because the devil has studied you, the demons have studied you, and they know that this is you, and they make a tailor-made thing for you so that one will catch you. So when you see those kind of tailor-made issues, tailor-made troubles, it's like many things that other people may not be dealing with, you are just dealing with them again and again and again. There's an harassment over your life in a particular area. Maybe it is a demonic activity and you need to take care of it. How do I know that there is demonic activity going on? When there is torment. When there is torment. In Matthew 18, Jesus was talking about the tormentors. Those tormentors are demons. When there is a torment in one area or the other. Sometimes it may be in your dreams. Excuse me. If you are a child of God, I have a problem if you have nightmares. I do. Maybe sometimes God is trying to show you something and you see something, but repeatedly, I think you should take it up. You don't watch those kind of stuff. Oh, but it doesn't mean anything. It's just some casual. Oh my God. You don't understand that the spiritual is always ahead of the physical. And many times, sometimes when you close your eyes and say you are sleeping, it's not everything that is sleeping on. No. Your spirit man is still alive. That's why many times you will see many things even in the dream. You will now find that your reality in the present sometimes even show up in the dream. Some of you, you will get home, you will sleep, you will hear this message, you will almost see this service again. And you think, it's not nothing. Because you just saw something suddenly come up and you saw an animal. And you say, that doesn't make sense. You know, I just saw that while pastor was preaching. I saw one goat near him. You know, but that doesn't make sense. That's not like Chicago. Where's goat? Have you ever seen goat on the street of Chicago before? That goat, if you press in more, may just be representing a principality. May just be representing a force that you need to confront and you need to speak against. So what am I saying this morning? I am saying that you can identify and you can begin to audit. You see, when you are finishing a year, when you are ending anything, or when you are looking at a particular situation, many times you need to make some audits before you even take action. There are too many times when people stand up to pray, they pray amiss. And partly because they pray without understanding, there is no auditing, there is no spiritual intelligence to know what to really pray about. And I'm showing you this morning that there are some things you can look at in your life. When you begin to see enticement, when you begin to see harassment, when you begin to see temptations and tormenting, those things may be a telltale sign that an enemy is at work. What are some of the things you can see to know if an enemy is at work? When you begin to have this compel or compulsions. There are some of us, compulsive eating, compulsive drinking, compulsive talking. We say everything and anything. I was watching a movie the other day. This lady said things that put her into trouble. There are so many people, it is their own mouths that they have used to say things that they should not say. I believe we should share our testimonies with people, but there are many times, just in the wisdom of God, sometimes your mouth should be quiet. Every now and then when I read the story of Jesus, the birth of Jesus, and the unfolding of events, I wonder and I marvel at the wisdom of God. Because if I am God, the Father, when they wanted to kill Jesus, why are we going to run? No, we are not going to run. No. Let Herod come here. If they just attack the building like this, Herod will fall on the floor. And we just bow and say, "Oh my king, oh my king, oh my king." And then if you want to strike, you will just bow, "Oh my king, oh my king." He will say, "I wanted to strike, but your excellency, as he wants to strike that house, you are bowing down and say, "Oh my king, oh my king." And God said they should run away. You know, some people in their theology, there's nothing like that. But you see, God is wise. God is wise. So I'm saying that it is possible for you to fall under some compulsive behaviors, and those compulsive behaviors, if you audit many of them, they may be sponsored. They may be sponsored. It may not be just you. It may not just be your weakness. It may not just be, it might have started as your weakness, because sometimes some of these things start natural. But after a while, because you see, the devil is a thief. And if you understand the way thieves works, thief will take advantage of any loophole. If a thief finds your social security number and some other details, you know they will steal money. They will do money laundering, money fraud. If a thief finds your door open, he probably will do something with it. If a thief finds your item on the floor, he probably will steal it. It is not because he was the one that initiated the item to fall down, but even that it has fallen down, he will take advantage of that. That's how the devil is. There are many things that are physical. They started physical, but the present version of those things now in many people's life is no more physical. It's not demonic. The devil has now taken advantage of it, because the Bible says, giving no place to the devil, because we are not ignorant of his devices. Why? If the devil sees a crack, it's okay for him. He will take that crack and turn that crack into a big hole and a bigger hole, until that hole will be, there will be no more wall there. He will just make that house a house without walls. Why? So that you can come in and go out at any time that he wants. What am I saying this morning? I am saying many of us need to audit our lives and ask the question, is there any activity that is keeping me captive? Am I a prisoner? Is this thing a prison that I find myself? Sometimes we need to remove ourselves from that prison that we have found. We need to allow the power of Jesus. We need to allow Jesus to come and make sure we enjoy liberty. So we enforce his liberty in those areas. But you first need to identify. What are other ways that you can identify the activities of evil spirit? Enslave. They can enslave. There's compulsion, they force you to do things. There's enslavement. You it's like you lose power in the face of some habits. There are many of us. There are habits. There are so many people, they are struggling with pornography. They are struggling with so many online kind of vices. And many of these things, they started normal. You were just excited and you, but now you are enslaved. Even when you have said it many, many years, many, many times, "I will not do this again," but you are under the slavery. You are under the bondage of that thing. There is a spirit seemingly making you to do it. You know, sometimes some people say, "The devil made me do it." there are some people, the devil will come back and say, it's a lie, I didn't make him do it. But truly, truly speaking, there are many people, the devil made them do it. There are sometimes, it doesn't make sense. Somebody has come to Tehillah, 24 hours of prayer and praise and all of that kind of thing. Immediately after Tehillah, he now goes to be watching something that he's not supposed to be watching. It's an enslavement. That person is not the one in charge again. When you find yourself that you are not in charge, you can't control things. It feels like the more you try to gain control, the more you lose control. Maybe there is an activity of the devil. And this morning, every activity of the devil in and through your life, I decree and declare, they are going in the name of Jesus. What other activity can you see that the devil does? One big one, and is doing today. Deception. Deception. When you start living in a lie and believing the things that you had condemned before, and the beliefs that you have even believed from scripture before, you now revise it, and the revision is not because you learned more scripture that shows that that thing is not true, or that shows that there is an update to that truth, but it's just deception. And the devil is doing that in wholesale in 2024. There are many people, they have been deceived. There's a lot of deception flying front and back. And this morning, I decree and declare, every area where you have been deceived, I decree and declare that those areas are broken in the name of Jesus. So the Bible said in that Luke chapter 4 that we read, that Jesus said that I have been given a mandate to set the captive free. I have been given a mandate to set the captive free. And let me tell you the truth, if you want to be free and you want to enter into 2024 2025, a free man, a free woman, you have to participate. You have to join Jesus. You have to let Jesus allow you to be free, because there are some people that are captives but they are not willing to be released. But this morning, every willing captive, everyone that is in one prison or the other, whether it is physical, whether it is emotional, I decree and declare that that person will be free in Jesus' name. So how can I enforce my liberty? How can I make my liberty operational? Let me just run through it. Our time has been well spent today, and I still want to do one more thing after the offering. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 28 verse 13, Proverbs chapter 28 verse 13, it says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but he that confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. How can I maximize, enjoy the liberty that is in Christ? The first thing is that you need to maintain the posture of Proverbs 28:13. And that posture is that it's first, if it's not what the person first does or says, it's an honest and humble posture. So if you want to enjoy the liberty, you need to be honest and you need to be humble. There are too many people, we call what is going on in our life different names. In the name of, well, I don't want to just be labeled. In the name of, well, it's not that bad. In the name of, we don't even believe that a whole me will be going through that kind of thing. But this kind of your anger, this kind of anger, this color of your anger is not normal. And then you have put it on the family tree. I mean, you say things like, well, I'm the coolest person in my family. If you meet my older sister, if anything that is in her way, when she's angry, she will fling it. You think that's normal? And you think that's something to be proud about? We can exempt ourselves from evil. I know that sometimes evil is generational. There are demonic influences that are generational. There are things that have happened to father that is happening to son. The son is as angry as the man. In fact, there are even behavioral patterns with women, with the opposite sex, that different people ahead of you have had, and you will find that is coming up upon you. You should not accept it because it happened in your generation. No, you should not. The only thing that you are permitted to accept now is what happened in Jesus. Remember, one of the reasons he came is to show you the original. Anything that is not like what he shows you, you reject it. So you start out by being humble and being honest. Humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you. He will lift you up. Be honest with yourself. There are too many times when we make calls in church, and I don't have time. I would have been able to a little bit go into this a little more with some calls this morning, but I'll make a general one. But you find that many people will be so self-conscious. I don't want what would they think I am? Who cares what they think you are? I've shared this story before, that some years ago I used to struggle with pornography. And I remember I had a person that I was mentoring that time. And God told me, when I was saying, Lord, have mercy upon me. He said, okay, I've had mercy upon you. But tell that person that you are mentoring. I said, if I tell him, I will shatter him. If somebody is looking at you high up here, and then you now go and say that you are struggling with that kind of thing, a whole man of God, and then some people even know some of my own family history, you know, as if no, everything everybody did in my family line is me that did it, you know. So how can he hold me with some popular people in my family? How can I not come and say I'm struggling with that? Who cares? As long as you get free. That was the straw that broke the camel's back. That's that single act, when I told that person, first of all, it blessed the person, because the person too was struggling with the same thing. He didn't know. Apparently, God wanted to deliver the person that, okay, it is your man of God, this is your mentor too, is a man of black passion. So as I told the person, I said, sir, I also have been trying to come and talk to you. Me too. I said, okay. At least it made me feel a little better with that. I'm just not because, you know, you feel like I will look hypocritical. It will look like everything I say about the word of God is not true. Let me say this to you, and it will bless you. Every time we stand there speaking the word of God, we speak the word of God. It's not experience. Sometimes we too, the word we are speaking, we need it. Can somebody say amen? So I don't come and deceive you and think that everything I've said this morning, me too, I don't need help. I need help now. All of us, God has to free us from anything that is trying to, you know, put us into bondage, you know. So that was what I did, and that humility and that honesty was what helped me. This morning I'm going to tell somebody, be honest with yourself. As you are looking at 2025, you will not carry those bondages, you will not live in that prison, not because you change calendar date, but because you are humble and you are honest with yourself. When you are humble and honest with yourself, then you can move to the next thing. You can confess your faith in Jesus. You can confess your faith in Jesus. You can, if you have not given your life to Jesus, if you have never said, Jesus, I want you into my life, don't assume, confess your faith in Jesus. Confess your faith in Jesus. And if you have confessed your faith in Jesus, and somewhere along the line you missed it, somewhere along the line you did some, reconnect back to him. Because when you break an edge, the serpent will bite. You mend the edge, so that the serpent is not going to be able to bite. All right, so you confess your faith in Jesus. You confess also any known sins of your ancestors, of people you know, of yourself. Because sometimes demonic influences come by way of covenants, the way of things that people before you have done. There are some people, I listened to the story of a man. This guy was married to a deity as a baby. You know, some things don't make sense in the natural, but you know, in that other realm, all kinds of crazy things happen. This boy, as a baby, was married to a deity. You think that guy will be normal? No, sir. He needs to. That was a major atrocity. Some people call it iniquity. It's not just sin, it's iniquity, something that is very deep. You need to confess those things if you know them. You need to also repent of all your sins. Confessing your faith in Christ and repenting of your sins are different. To repent means to turn around. It is not, you are not repenting if you only say I'm sorry with your mouth and you don't want to do I'm sorry with your action. Repentance requires a change of action. You need to change your action. You need to allow God to allow the actions to change. When you do that, after that, you break away from any occultic or funny societies. I just call them funny societies because there are all kinds of societies that people have fraternized themselves with now. Oh, it's just some people hanging out, and we just say this creed, and this creed is what we just say, and that's how we connect ourselves together. There are some of those things you need to scrutinize what you are saying, because you don't know that you are engaging with everything that everyone in that old association has done. And so you need to break away. Some of us have materials in our house. We have pictures. We have objects. We have clothes. We have things that we know has a question mark. I'm speaking to an immigrant audience. Do you know, I know, that an average immigrant has different spiritual resource. I'm just being kind and polite, but different spiritual resource. Oh, it's nothing bad. It's just something that somebody is even prayer, is even psalms they read. But the kind of psalms that they read, that they are giving us red cloth to tie around our steering. Oh, but every car that I did it on, that car has not had an accident. Yes. What they gave you is that. What did they take from you? What did they take? You don't know. You don't know. That's what we are talking about. Some of these influences that you are operating under, it is what they gave you, or what they took from you. So they seemingly solved the problem, but they created another one. And the one they created is even bigger than the one that they solved. What am I saying this morning? I'm saying Jesus came, and he came to set the captive free. But the captive must partner with him so that he can set them free. And another one before the final one. Forgive others. Forgive others. There are so many of us. We have done every other thing but this one. Forgive others. What they did to you was wrong, but forgive them. You are Joseph, they sold you wrongly. They lied against you. Oh, if I pass this mic around, many of you will talk about how people have done you evil, like pure evil. They said things that completely were not true. They did something, they violated you. They did this, they did that. You have many things to say. But forgive them. Forgive them. Forgive them. Because unforgiveness already is a prison. And it does not matter the reason, it is still a prison. Forgive them. Forgive them completely. As you are looking at 2025, forgive them completely. There are many things that don't answer to prayer and fasting. They just answer to instruction and action. This one answers to that. Forgive them. Jesus said, when you are praying and you remember that your brother has aught against you. He didn't even say because you have aught against your brother. Your brother has aught against you. He said, drop your seed and go back and forgive them. There are too many times we are giving 24 hours prayer for what we should give 2.5 minutes of forgiveness. Just give it 2 minutes of forgiveness. I forgive you from my heart. You say it before God. And if you have opportunity, you say it to them too. Because sometimes some of us don't have the opportunity. The person has died. It was a family member. Somebody that was not there. A family member that violated it. They used their authority to mess you up. You can forgive them. Because your forgiving them is so that you will now say, Jesus, I am not in the prison of unforgiveness. I want freedom. I want to be free. I want to break away from this constant headache. I want to break away from this constant limitation. I want to break away. Forgive. And finally, you expel them. You expel them. You cast them out. You cast out that spirit. You use the word of God. You use the name of Jesus. You use tools. I will talk a little bit about many of these tools in 2025 because I will dwell along this line, especially on our miracle service days, and I will expand a little bit because one of the things that God has been stirring in my heart in 2025 is that many things that we have called natural is not natural. There is a sponsorship, and deal with the spirit that is behind them. Don't cast out the person, cast out the spirit. Jesus said there, in that Luke chapter 4, he said, the Spirit of God is upon me. He has told me, he has anointed me to preach a deliverance to the captives. Because there are people under bondage. You expel them. And this morning, I want to expel them. I want to command everything that is not of God, that is inside of you, that is operating in your life, that is making you be under that habit, that you are already writing a new resolution for 2025. But because that spirit is still available and is still efficient and is still working, it's your new year resolution will soon become new year frustration. Why? Because you have not dealt with the spirit. But this morning, we are dealing with that spirit. Why? Jesus came. One of the reasons he came is to set the captives free. I want you to stand to your feet this morning. I want you to stand to your feet this morning.